Next on Making Sense of the Madness, Todd Bensman joins us live from the border, and Jason Burmis helps us analyze the breaking story of the Biden crime corruption. We're going to question the mainstream narrative and expose media propaganda right now. Well, Todd Bensman, the author of Overrun, joins us live from the border. What's going on there, Todd?
Right. So, Mexico. And for the last 36 hours, I've been witnessing just thousands and thousands of immigrants crossing over the river behind me into Texas, Brownsville. If you'd have caught me 5 minutes ago, you would have seen one of these big groups just, you know, cross through just behind me. It just so happens that on that one, the Texas Department of Public Safety was restoring the razor wire that was all torn down. And they actually were there to stop this group. They shut them down and turned them all away. That's rare. That does not happen. Mostly there's nobody on that side. And these are people that recognize that Title 42 is over, that they are not going to be deported. That they are going to be released into the interior. I can't tell you how many I've watched cross here, but all night long last night, finally I had to go to my hotel and get some sleep, and it's just continuing morning long again now. The anticipation of the demise of Title 42 tomorrow at midnight.
Todd, this is historic, and you've been covering this for a long time. Have you ever seen anything similar to this in your career?
Yes. In this particular mass migration crisis, I've seen a lot of this kind of thing. The Del Rio migrant camp from September 2021. This has been going on, just nobody covering it. Even now, there's American. I am like kind of the only American. There's some Mexican media that showed up, Univision. But for the most part, you know, the thing that I'm seeing here is extraordinary. You would think that there would be a press pack here trying to cover it, but there's nobody here. Brownsville is on the other side. I've heard that there is some media on that side. But what's happening is over here, telling me in interview after interview after interview that they plan to immediately challenge new policy strategy of the Biden administration immediately. This will be going on through Thursday. And if these immigrants get through and they're allowed into New Jersey, New York, and everywhere else, there's a case here, at least 5,000 over there that are a little bit more nervous. They are going to jet right over that river. They tell me that if the Biden administration went through under the new Title 8 policy, they're all going. Upriver is Reynosa. There's 15,000, mostly Haitians there. They also are watching every single move on the other side. If anybody's getting let in, they're probably all going to go too, and so forth and so on, all the way to Tijuana.
It's just the whole border. This is very historic. And somehow all of these people are aware of the legal changes happening in the United States, and they're incentivized to come at this particular time. Any other commentary? I know you have
very smart
media interview coming up. Anything else you want to say about what's going on?
Yeah, I just want to point out that, you know, these immigrants are smart. They all have cell phones. They are all tied into a lifetime intelligence network. When I ask them, why are you coming? Title 42 is still in place. You could still be instantly deported. Why are you doing this? And they'll tell me, because my cousins just got in and were let in, and they're in New Jersey now. My uncle, my mom, my wife, the Biden people are letting them in. They are not applying Title 42. And when I say that, I want to put it in proper context, which is that the Alejandra Mayorkas has been making statement after statement in press conferences and in public that the border is closed and we are applying Title 42 to 100% of everybody that crosses. Nobody is getting in. And that is a material lie. It's not true. Do not believe that. Believe these immigrants. They are in touch with their relatives on their phones, and they're getting in.
Wow, it's unbelievable. There's such a difference, a disparity between what you hear in the media about what's going on and what's actually happening on the ground. Thank God that you're there, you know, independent type of journalist who can give us the truth. Really appreciate you taking your time, Todd. We're going to put a link in the description to your book, Overrun, so people can support your work, because it's not easy to do the travel and the work that you do, and you need all the support you can get. Thank you so much, Todd.
Yeah, thank you very much. The book, by the way, is the definitive history of how this whole thing started and why this is happening now today. If you want to understand anything about what's going on here, it's the only book on the subject of this border crisis.
That's right. We need you to continue doing your work for us to get the intel that we need to make decisions and do the advocacy from our side to stop this madness. And we actually have a video. We can play the two videos that we have that show what's going on with what the Biden administration is saying versus what's actually happening. This is just all of the people waiting to get into the United States, or perhaps they just crossed in. I'm not sure exactly. But we have the video from the press secretary. Go ahead, Todd.
I was going to say that's a little bit older video, but I've been shooting video over here of these like throngs and crowds of people just pouring over, overwhelming the Mexican immigration officials who were like, stop, stop, the children. And they're like, yeah, what about the children? They're right in all night long, too, by the way. You can actually see it. That this is an open border. They believe it's an open border. If they believe it's an open border, it pretty much is an open border.
Right. I mean, you said that you saw some authorities stop people, but that's not the norm. You've seen a lot more of people being let in.
Yeah, Texas DPS just was repairing their razor wire over there and happened to be there when a big group went over. Goes to show you that immigrants over here could care less if there's law enforcement. They're saviors. If they find Border Patrol over there, Border Patrol answers to Joe Biden and will bring.
Yeah, you're breaking up, Todd, but I can say that it's very interesting that an illegal immigrant would actually like Border Patrol because they would be helping them actually cross the border. We're living in very scary times. We are going to show that clip of the press secretary saying that Kamala Harris, the border czar, is having lots of conversations with Joe Biden about this.
Should the vice president be involved in today's meeting since she'll be here in the country while the president is away?
So the president has been closely consulting with the vice president on this. They have had several conversations on this issue. And so, again, when it comes to issues that matter to the American people, they're very much partners.
Well, I'm just so happy that they're having lots of conversations, Todd. conversations don't really solve the problem, though. You need action. And this is just a cover story. They're letting this happen, aren't they?
Yes. The policies that they put in place of bringing them in, of accommodating them, is the exact thing that I was at the bus station yesterday here in Matamoros, after bus after bus. Children pulling in, getting out, and heading straight to the river. What's the deal? They're like, they're letting us in, so we're coming to Matamoros. And that's policy. That's right out of Washington, D.C. It's bringing them here. And they stay so. They just stay so.
Right. Well, Todd, I really appreciate your on-the-ground journalism, bringing this intel to us firsthand. This is a very important time period as the Title 42 ends here, and we can expect a lot more of this. Thank you, Todd. Really appreciate your time. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to Jason Burmis about some breaking developments in the political world with James Comer's report on the Biden crime family as soon as we get back.
The world is about to shift. Banks are going cashless globally with the emergence of central bank digital currency, which will bring with it programmable money and the ability to turn on or off your purchasing power based on your digital social profile. It's like the equivalent of spyware in your bank account. You need to get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, PhD, 720-605-3900.
We are joined by Jason Burmis, the Info Warrior. And Jason, we just have so many headlines to cover today. It looks like the DOJ, you know, not wanting to look make the Democrats look too bad, are charging George Santos, the Republican. This is the breaking news here. So, you know, it's not just the Bidens that are going to have bad news today. The Republicans have to have some bad news, too. That's how this timing works, doesn't it?
Well, it does. But at the same time, if there's somebody that I'm not going to stump for, it's Santos. I haven't looked at these charges, but the way he got in was utterly ludicrous, beyond ridiculous. I did a whole segment how he actually personified his district of Long Island, where being a sleazy, lying social climber, I come from New York, is a very much a part of that culture. I'm like, that's the guy for them. Believe me, that is fake it till you make it place. And I got to tell you, somebody as crooked and corrupt as Santos isn't somebody we need in the Republican Party or any kind of conservative movement. Although we know I don't call myself a conservative, it just kind of personifies the dark cartoon we live in. But you wouldn't be wrong in the fact that the timing is essential to play down the idea that the Democratic Party is corrupt as well. And in this case, come on, it's chump change. Do you think George Santos couldn't launder one-tenth of the amount of money the Biden crime family has laundered over the years in a lifetime? I guarantee you that, Sean.
Oh, I'm with you, Jason, that George Santos is not a savory character or some kind of a precious asset to the Republican Party. And this is a guy that has got all kinds of videos of himself as a drag queen and stuff. And he lied about every aspect of his career to get into office. But at the same time, it's like they're just willing to take down anyone, try to take over those seats in Congress if they can, I guess. It's full out political war. And look at this witch hunt against President Trump. We've got E. Jean Carroll, the rape defamation case verdict came in, and the Democrats are trying to spin this, trying to say that the jury found President Trump guilty of rape. That's not true. They found him not guilty of rape, and they found him liable for the assault aspect. It's very interesting because it's a civil thing. It has to do with liability. You don't get actually convicted of the crime on the criminal side. What do you make of this verdict?
This one's a tough one, right? Because we have to acknowledge that Trump liked the ladies. He even made the infamous grab him by the you-know-what comment. But in stark contrast, let's look at Joe Biden for a minute, and then we can get to this case. In stark contrast, we have documentation from his daughter in a diary where she talks about inappropriate showers with her father. We have a laptop that this DOJ had before the election, okay, before 2020 with Hunter Biden. Forget about all the criminality. In his contacts, in his iPhone, he had his father's number as Pedo Peter. Now, that's just family business.
Such a lovely nickname for your own father to call him a pedophile. But don't forget Tara Reid, an actual credible witness.
And that's where I was going next. So that's the family business. And then you have Tara Reid. And we could talk about Trump grabbing him by the you-know-what all the day. There's evidence that Joe Biden actually did that act against an unwilling woman. Forget about the sniffing, right. All of it. There's not a word. Now, Trump, who had already become president in 2016, his greatest crime of all, you would think that this case, if it was going to come out, would have come out then. And then you look at the money that's backing the people behind the case, and obviously it is money in which you have people that don't want Trump in. And now the new hashtag
That was part of President Trump's response. We can actually show that on the screen, that he wanted to make it very clear that the founder of LinkedIn was funding all of this. He went to Jeffrey Epstein's island, these accusations are very similar to a 2012 SVU Victims Unit episode, and that she had no intention of actually suing President Trump until after she met with George Conway, I believe.
Exactly. Right. So this is a case that if it was going to come out politically, you would have thought would have come out before the 2016 election. Now, this encompasses all sorts of other charges. Remember, we still have the classified documents on the table. We still have the Georgia case. And what have I been saying the entire time? They want this guy in jail. And this is just yet another stepping stone, another talking point for the mainstream media to attack Trump. He is now a convicted sexual predator, right? That's the new talking point. That's what I'm seeing across social media. And once again, it makes me more sympathetic to the guy, far from perfect. But again, compare and contrast what you can see with your own eyes, right? And I'll put Trump up against Biden any day of the week, Sean.
Oh, that's for sure. I mean, I believe that this particular accuser has very little credibility. She can't even remember the year in which the supposed crime took place. And that's pretty bad. We shouldn't be taking people to court if we can't remember what year they did the bad thing that they supposedly did. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about what Washington just did. The governor signed a controversial bill allowing the government to take away minors from their parents if they refuse to agree to a gender transition surgery. Unbelievable. We'll talk about that as soon as we get back.
Stand out from the status quo. Let them know you're a patriot with the Patriot Pin. We feature an entire line of 14-karat gold-plated pins, starting at $4.45. Challenge coins, only $17.45 each. And decals, only $6.45 each. Order now and get a free gift at thepatriotpin.com.
Trans youth and transgender people have become a target for disinformation campaigns and political stunts that portray them as dangerous or degenerate. Here we think it's much more important to have less ideological warfare and more focusing on efforts to help young people through difficult times. In Washington State, we reject the politics of transphobia and fear. We look for ways to help LGBTQ youth remain safe and supported. With this bill, Washington leads the way by taking a more compassionate, developmentally appropriate, and reasoned approach to support these youth as they access gender-affirming treatment and reproductive health care services. Thanks, Senator Elias, and many people who've worked on this thoughtful approach. So let's smile for the camera here for a second.
All right. Zero back there. Here we go. One, two, three, and again, one, two, three.
All right. Thank you all.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Jason, they want to take away minors from their parents. The government will have complete control over your family, and they say it's because they're trying to protect trans kids. Can you tell me about your opinion on that?
There is no opinion, Sean. I'll tell you right now, this is the takeover. This is a global agenda. It is out in the open. It is something that Joe Biden has actually discussed at the Global Fund, how the United States would be actually a refuge for other children across the globe, forget about the states, that could come here and be protected. And to kind of reiterate how this is, in fact, a global agenda, this is the United Nations' own page, the LGBTQI+, the bearded women movement, and do what you want as an adult. But they have now put out white papers, Sean, including this one on transgenderism, where let me just read you how many genders officially the UN is recognizing now with the new science, right? There's new science behind this. A transgender or trans person may identify as a man, a woman, a trans man, a trans woman, as a non-binary person, and with other terms such as hydra, third gender, two-spirit, travesty, fine, gender queer, transpanoi, mukes, warrior, and meti. That's just the beginning. This is a movement to separate humanity from their actual biology. As transhumanism comes in, one of the other big headlines today, Sean, is we have the first official baby that has been bioengineered to have the DNA of three human beings instead of two. And you're going to be able to identify first as anything you like, despite your biology. And if your parents, your biological parents, by the way, don't agree with that, there will now be mechanisms within the nation state to separate you from your parents. And really, what used to be parental consent, at least up until 18 years old, where you could send your kids off into war. And eventually, Sean, unfortunately, come into what is discussed in this book, I believe on page 104 or 114, where you will have gender neutral babies that are bioengineered. It sounds like a nightmare scenario, but it is where this leads. And people need to realize that right now. We need to push back on everything that separates the parent from their child. And we have to stop acting like there is not undue influence on our child or on our children, Sean. That the idea that we have a media and a political establishment that constantly tell us about Russian influence and disinformation and misinformation, and then act like there is no agenda to influence our children as to this gender cult is absolutely absurd and obscene, and we need to stop it right now.
Jason, this is why freedom of speech is so important, because Governor Inslee was saying that he's combating misinformation and disinformation. If they had their way, we'd never be able to say anything against the trans agenda. And that's why Twitter and Truth Social and Gab and Telegram and all these social media companies are so important, because you can actually talk about this subject and you don't get debanked or deplatformed or canceled. Well, we're going to switch gears and talk about the report that's due out today from James Comer. It's happening right now as we speak. Let's watch the video and to see what we can expect.
Oversight Chairman James Comer joins us now with more. What can you tell us, Congressman, about what you're going to be showcasing tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow, for the first time, the American people are going to see actual bank records that show wire transfers from adversaries around the world into a web of LLCs that were owned or controlled by the Bidens. And then those transfers were made back into the Biden family accounts. So this was one reason the Biden family received so many of the bank violations that are known as suspicious activity reports, because the banks knew that this wasn't normal business activity. But we're going to see whether or not tomorrow, Jesse, Joe Biden was telling the truth when he said that his family never received any money from China. We're going to see tomorrow whether or not Joe Biden knew about his family's business dealings, which we know that he said several times that he didn't. So I think tomorrow is going to be judgment day for the Biden administration, the Biden White House, and I'm anxious to see how the mainstream media covers this.
Or covers it up. Congressman, do any of those bank records show cash going directly into Joe Biden's bank account?
Well, you'll see tomorrow, Jesse, they set this up to be as complicated as possible, to make it as difficult as possible to do two things. Number one, trace where the sender was. And secondly, to deceive the IRS. So this is like an organized crime unit, the way that they've set up this litany of LLCs, and they didn't make.
So, Jason, very complicated schemes here. I've seen some of the graphics that they've been dropping on Twitter. Showing how this worked, money from various Chinese operatives that go to another Chinese thing, that go to another person, and then finally drop into an account of some kind of LLC that's controlled by a Biden family member. What have you seen thus far?
Well, I'm going to surprise some people here. Normally, I would say that no matter how much evidence is out there, nothing would really come of this. We've seen what's happened with high-level investigations, and especially when they're against the wrong people. Who cares about Hillary Clinton's emails and the server? Who cares about Benghazi? It always gets spun in the mainstream media. The reason I think that this one is just slightly different is because we've known about this corruption before Biden even ran. Again, the laptop was out there. It was being censored, but anybody who had some semblance of critical thinking skills could tell it wasn't Russian disinformation and that this was legitimate stuff. Now you're able to span that out into the next election cycle. So we are going to start to see things. Now, Joe Biden has talked about running again. I don't think that's what the Democrat establishment wants. And if things maybe get a little too hairy in there and too much information is put out, it's another great excuse to have him step down in kind of a backdoor deal where nothing will happen to his son or his cohorts. And there'll be some kind of limited hangout solution like there always is to these type of crimes. I think they still have the classified documents in their pocket, but I just find it so hard to believe. But I was wrong about this one too, because in 2020, I was like, there's no way they're putting out the dementia-ridden old man that can't talk and is talking about record players and babies out there. They did it. So everything's on the table, but I think this is a way to get him out and still not even acknowledge the dementia aspect of Joe. Also, push Kamala Harris to the side and maybe bring in two fresh faces. A lot of people, Sean, they've speculated Gavin Newsom.
Right. It makes you wonder if the Republicans or the White Hats or Trump or whatever, if they could have their greatest dream come true, it might be for Joe Biden to run again, because he would just be so easy to beat on a fair and square election, at least. So it is going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. Well, the next headline I wanted to show you is in California. Gavin Newsom has launched a snitch hotline to report hate acts, including if you call someone a name, a bad name. Name calling is now going to be a part of this. This reminds me of Soviet Russia, where neighbors snitched against neighbors to the government, and you never knew when one of them was going to get disappeared for saying wrong speak, maybe against the government. But in this case, they're hopping on the political correctness. If you say something racist or maybe transphobic, maybe you'll get turned in to that government hotline in California. What are your thoughts, Jason?
Well, the reason I just brought up Newsom, huh? I mean, speak of the devil and he shall appear. This guy is in line with hate speech laws and criminalizing thought and behavior. And again, this is just a microcosm what has happened throughout the world. You have in Europe right now one of the prominent doctors that has spoke out against the COVID 1984 nightmare and actually compared the science Okay. And what happened in the last 3-4 years in this country and around the world with Nazi science? We have to remember it was the Department of Hygiene that got it all started. And many of the human experiments that they were putting out there were basically for their biowarfare program to build a vaccine so that when they released these biological warfare agents, they could inoculate the public safely, the German public, while doing so. And now he's facing jail time. He's been arrested. I'm not sure if you caught the clip, but it's solid gold wrapped in platinum with diamond-studded toppings. But finally, you had Warren Buffett confronted by one of his shareholders this week about Bill Gates, his relationship to controlling media and philanthropy. And a lot of that is conduit by who? Buffett himself. You know what he got? He got dragged off and arrested for it, Sean. That's where we're at in this country. That guy's a shareholder in a company. Isn't money supposed to be free speech? Yet his free speech about a minute and a half in was taken out. And that's the Newsom dream, right? That's the establishment predator class dream. They're going to put out a big, smiley, sleazy-looking face like Newsom, somebody who's the ultimate politician, got every talking point on hand, like a Tony Blinken Jr. straight out of Hollyweird. And they're going to promote their agenda under the guise of democracy and equality and love. And what is it? It's collectivism wrapped in authoritarianism with a new biomedical techno-fascism that most cannot imagine, Sean.
You know, they really do spin it like they're the most compassionate people in the world, and it's all about love is love, and we just stand with the marginalized people, and yet there's no debate allowed. There's no conversation allowed. It's just the only truth is the government truth. And everything else is misinformation and disinformation and conspiracy theory. Well, that's why we need to stand up for our rights, especially freedom of speech. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about McCarthy meeting with Biden on the budget cuts and what developments are happening there as soon as we get back.
Here's what you missed at the last Ask the Expert.
And basically, I believe what we have today is not really an education system anymore. It is a behavioral conditioning system designed to turn children against God, against their country, against their family, and prepare them to be slaves in a technocratic New World Order.
You ask the questions. You participate. Ask the Expert every Thursday night at 8:30, only on AMP Insider.
Welcome to a new era of connecting patriots. AMP Insider.
Hey guys, Justin here with the Satellite Phone Store, and today we're going to talk about EcoFlow's solar panel options.
Designed for portable power, these foldable solar panels come with a kickstand case for easy transportation, setup, and protection. Each panel uses an MC4 universal connector for wider compatibility and makes it super useful for charging a variety of devices.
And if you're interested in making a purchase or you'd like more information, please visit satellitephonestore.com or sat123.com.
Well, I asked him numerous times, are there some places we could find savings? He wouldn't give me any, so I'm hopeful that we'll be able to find them. You can't spend more money, which his budget does, than the pandemic. They added $6 trillion when they're in the majority, and what happened? We got inflation. We hurt every family in America. I think the best thing we could do is find places that we can eliminate waste, find places that we can grow this economy, and that's exactly what the House bill does. Look, I would have loved to have spent from February 1st on working together and negotiating something. Unfortunately, he would never meet with us. So I had to look for things that Democrats had agreed to before. Like, Senator Manchin believes that we should cap the growth going forward. So we would take the next 10 years and we would spend more each year, but only 1%. That would save us a lot of money. We'd find savings like COVID money, bringing it back. We'd find ways to grow the economy by making us energy independent, lowering the cost of energy, but at the same time changing the red tape on the permitting reform so we could build things again. I thought that was a common ground idea that we can all get together on. So we had made sure that we wouldn't go into default, so the House raised the debt limit and also had growth for the rest. Yes.
Well, Jason, it seems like this bickering back and forth about spending money or not spending money is just perpetual in D.C. Do we have to wait? Do we have to wait until there's some kind of major shift? Does Biden have to croak or get arrested for us to have some kind of major change here?
You know, I wish I had better news for you, right? I don't think they're budging. I think just it's going to be lies on top of bank failures and absorptions. And through this controlled demolition, this purposeful controlled demolition of our economy, the offering of more for nothing through a digital currency slavery system. I know it's a grim outlook, my man, but unless, you know, we were talking about elections in the last segment, unless we somehow change the infrastructure of our elections to get rid of all, and I mean every single damn machine out there, I don't have much hope. You know, you just talked about it. And of course, in a free and fair election, Trump curb stomps Joe Biden. But I believe that Trump curb stomped Joe Biden in 2020 to a degree that if there was a free and fair election, it wouldn't have even been a question. I think obviously COVID-1984 was able to run a cover for that. And much of what we're seeing right now, as was discussed by McCarthy himself, where people don't realize these large incentives weren't just for 2020, 2021, 2022, but well into that 2030 agenda, many of them 10-year plans on something, Sean, that finally the World Health Organization and good old Tedros told us was over. Oh, finally, COVID is over. Thank you so much. On the heels of what? This fake Johnny nonsense report by the media on the COVID war that was headed up by none other than the guy that brought us the 9/11 Commission whitewash and oversaw that, Philip Zelikow. So we have a real infrastructure problem. And the first infrastructure, forget about their bill, which is Johnny Nonsense, doesn't touch our infrastructure, was Build Back Better in disguise, which means build back slavery. Take it back. Neo-feudalism, bring it back. Okay? If we don't get rid of all that, that's what's coming. Okay, we need free and fair elections. We need to get rid of the machines. And we didn't have a red wave, Sean. And I don't think that was because people weren't fed up. It's because we haven't changed the infrastructure. How we do so, it's going to be tough. They've got the narrative. They've got the billionaires. They've got the television networks. I mean, I'm hoping with the news that the Tuckins is going to start his own Twitter show that there can be a new renaissance in alternative media. That's what we need.
He was the most popular person on television, and now he's free. We are going to talk about that, but I just want to comment on something you said, that this is going to be under the guise of helping the populace, giving them free money, free stuff, because, you know, what McCarthy said is they're trying to do the same amount of inflation that they did during the pandemic. There's going to be trillions of dollars flowing here, and that's going to make our dollars worth less and make us poor and make us more desperate. And so looking to the government for that handout is going to seem like a godsend to many people, and they'll welcome it. So yes, I agree that that's probably the game plan to try to win over the populace with the handouts. But let's talk about Elon Musk. He's calling the Allen, Texas mall shooter narrative a very bad psyop. I mean, the average person, the average American, the average Twitter user doesn't even know what a psyop is. So I think this is very helpful to get people to understand psychological operations exist. And the more absurd it gets, calling a Mexican a neo-Nazi, the more people wake up. What are your thoughts on this story?
So, you know, it was one that I took a step back, like I always do with these shooters, to look at what the available information was, what the media was spinning. Obviously, in the very beginning, when you look at the person's name, Garcia, and you see that he's obviously not a white guy, and the first thing you hear are neo-Nazi and white supremacist shooting, that's a problem. But then I began to look at this guy. This guy, I believe in 2008, try to join the U.S. military. He actually was in the Army for about 3 months, and then he was thrown out because of mental health issues. Michael Tracy, who's done a lot of mainstream work, but has been pushed into the alternative over the last, you know, 5-10 years because of what we've seen in media, was able to put together a thread that I think is extremely relevant. Read some of his writings, because when we first saw the shooter's social media profiles, right, the next association was with Tim Pool. And I just want to say this right now, Tim Pool nor any other commentator is responsible for a crazy person going and killing people. Okay. And when I saw the social media posts, the tattoos they're showing you that are the Nazi ones, especially, you see that there's other ink on this guy, but that looks fresh, which is bizarre. Tracy points out that a lot of this obsession, although he was allegedly on the social media profile posting some neo-Nazi stuff and Hitler memes, most of it was heavy metal stuff and that sort of thing. I think there's a very good chance with this person, again, being on psychotropic drugs, because there's a history of mental illness. And as far as the white supremacy, I think that's a joke. But the neo-Nazi stuff, possible. But when we talk about psychological warfare, it's what people read in the headlines. Many people aren't even aware that this guy wasn't a white guy. And I know that most commentators on all sides haven't mentioned the fact that he was U.S. military and at times apparently a security guard. So I have a lot of questions of when he got into this country, whether he was born here, what happened in the military, what kind of drugs he was on, what kind of motivation he had. But I don't think we blame Tim Pool. I think that's an absurd narrative and one in which what people are calling for more censorship.
Right. And I think what Elon Musk is drawing attention to is exactly what you said, that there's a disparity between reality and how this was spun with the headline, with his race and with his true ideology. And yet it could go even deeper, right? I mean, with these mass shooters, you mentioned psychotropics. Sometimes they have psychiatrist handlers. Sometimes there's intelligence agency connections. How did this guy get into the security business with his mental health issues? Apparently the organization where he was a security guard, the CEO is ex-FBI. We know that with other mass shooters, FBI people were talking to them in the Discord chat room and maybe grooming them. So, you know, I think this is a nice baby step that Elon Musk is helping the normies take to understand psyops exist. And maybe next he'll talk about false flags exist. But let's talk about Tucker. We are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, let's talk about Tucker's new project, because this could be really big.
It's astonishing that experts were not called to help the country.
In the inaugural episode of Focal Point with Alex Newman, Dr. Peter McCullough discusses the impact of COVID-19.
If we had no government response and the medical community just faced it on its own, we could have avoided, I think, 2/3 of the hospitalizations and deaths. We never needed the vaccine, so they wouldn't have come out. The entire calamity would have been markedly reduced.
Don't miss this historically important interview on Focal Point with Alex Newman, only on ampnews.us. Banks are supposed to be the safest placeholders for cash in the world. But in 2022, that changed. The Federal Reserve pulled out $2.5 trillion of liquidity out of the banks. And the Fed also changed the requirements so banks don't need to keep any funds on hand. This means banks are starved for liquidity and have now become very dangerous places to hold your assets. Get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, Ph.D. at 720-605-3900.
Hey, it's Tucker Carlson. You often hear people say the news is full of lies, but most of the time that's not exactly right. Much of what you see on television or read the New York Times is in fact true in the literal sense. It could pass one of the media's own fact checks. Lawyers would be willing to sign off on it. In fact, they may have. But that doesn't make it true. It's not true. At the most basic level, the news you consume is a lie of the stealthiest and most insidious kind. Facts have been withheld on purpose, along with proportion and perspective. You are being manipulated. How does that work? Let's see. If I tell you that a man has been unjustly arrested for armed robbery, that is not, strictly speaking, a lie. He may have been framed. At this point, there's been no trial, so no one can really say. But if I don't mention the fact that the same man has been arrested for the same crime 6 times before, am I really informing you? No, I'm not. I'm misleading you. And that's what the news media are doing in every story that matters, every day of the week, every week of the year. What's it like to work in a system like that? After more than 30 years in the middle of it, we could tell you stories. The best you can hope for in the news business at this point is the freedom to tell the fullest truth that you can. But there are always limits. And you know that if you bump up against those limits often enough, you will be fired for it. That's not a guess. It's guaranteed. Every person who works in English language media understands that. The rule of what you can't say defines everything. It's filthy, really, and it's utterly corrupting. You can't have a free society if people aren't allowed to say what they think is true. Speech is the fundamental prerequisite for democracy. That's why it's enshrined in the first of our constitutional amendments. Amazingly, as of tonight, there aren't many platforms left that allow free speech. The last big one remaining in the world, the only one, is Twitter, where we are now. Twitter has long served as the place where our national conversation incubates and develops. Twitter is not a partisan site. Everybody's allowed here, and we think that's a good thing. And yet, for the most part, the news that you see analyzed on Twitter comes from media organizations that are themselves thinly disguised propaganda outlets. You see it on cable news. You talk about it on Twitter. The result may feel like a debate, but actually the gatekeepers are still in charge. We think that's a bad system. We know exactly how it works, and we're sick of it. Starting soon, we'll be bringing a new version of the show we've been doing for the last 6.5 years to Twitter. We bring some other things too, which we'll tell you about. But for now, we're just grateful to be here. Free speech is the main right that you have. Without it, you have no others. See you soon.
So, Jason, that was a long way of saying, hey, releasing the Tucker Carlson show on Twitter. And immediately after this announcement, Elon Musk stated they don't have a contract signed. That certainly is convenient because you can be sure that Fox News would try to sue Tucker if he did have some kind of contract. But his lawyers are saying that it was Fox that's a breach of contract, so Tucker can do whatever he wants. What are your thoughts about this announcement?
We shall see. I'm sure that the Fox News lawyers are going to be going after Tucker for this deal signed or not. Lot to talk about here. Look, you know, I'm not a fan of Elon Musk and even Tucker Carlson. You know, I've questioned in the past and I've played some of the things that I think were negative of him. I couldn't stand him back in the bow tie MSNBC and CNN days. He was one of the more, I would say, hated characters in the news for myself. He's done a 180, Sean. He was the last person telling truth on television, and he paid the ultimate price, his job for it. I mean, that's not the ultimate one. But there were beginning reports where he was making $1.8, $1.9 million a year. I didn't believe those. Other reports have put him at about $20 million a year. And the fact that Fox has a contract all the way till January of 2025, which would be outside of the election. He can't sign any deals. I would be surprised if even with Twitter's new subscription service, if he puts it out there that he could even monetize that. I think that might be in breach of contract. We're going to see what happens. No matter what, first of all, I'm hoping they bring Media Studio back because live streaming on a level that I used to do there is now gone from Twitter. They may bring that back for Tucker alone. They should. Then you would have live interaction with the show, and you would have also a place where creators could monetize again, like a YouTube. All of a sudden, that $44 billion doesn't seem so bad when you have the number one news powerhouse that I promise you, Sean, the first episode will do better numbers than the top 5 shows for each network combined. Easily will do that. And I've seen people say, oh, boomers don't know how to use Twitter, and that's all of Tucker's audience. That's not true. Tucker is reaching people from 20 to 80. And it actually might pull in. And if Musk is smart, obviously, Twitter and whatever venue he does for the news and videos will have an app for their smart television or their Roku device. And that's how the boomers, the actual ones, will access this content. So now you have, I mean, think about how much Fox News would go for, what it's valued at with the Fox Media Corp, quite a bit. We're talking in the tens, maybe even hundreds of billions of dollars. Bringing in Tucker as that first piece is a huge business move, to say the least, and it expands Twitter's credibility. We'll see where it goes. I'm going to remain skeptical, but I'm really hoping that the Tuckins, he comes out swinging with this first episode of whatever we see, Sean.
Well, you can be sure that he's not going to release some kind of milquetoast, kind of lukewarm stuff for his first episode. This is a critical time in our history, politically and economically and in every way possible. And this is a guy who likes to sniff out the most important stories. I mean, this is a guy who said the NSA was investigating him because he wanted to do an exclusive interview with President Putin in Russia. So I would be willing to bet that whatever he does, debates with Trump, the episodes that he releases, is going to be filled with the type of stuff that he wouldn't have been able to push the envelope that far on Fox. He's going to go even beyond it with Twitter. And yes, I agree. Why not bring back, I guess, you know, Twitter bought Periscope. They had live streaming, just got rid of it for some reason. Maybe they didn't want debate to happen on the platform, right? It's harder to debate to get live interactions. So yes, you would think that every alternative media would be looking at trying to buy up Tucker. I know Rumble would love to get Tucker or someone like him on their platform. Any additional thoughts on that?
Yeah, again, I think it's one of those things where wouldn't it be awesome if Twitter was actually an alternative where I could make money again, Sean? Although, first of all, Twitter's the only reason I have a YouTube page. So I've had my YouTube page since 2007. It was monetized until about 3 years ago. There's literally nowhere where I can make money streaming, Sean, unless I'm getting a paycheck. That's just reality. Okay, for instance, I pay to stream on Rumble. It's not a feature for free. So if I want also multiple channels, I pay like $25 a month. I'll be honest with you, even with hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of views at this point between videos, I barely break even on what I pay to stream on Rumble for a year. Podbean, I pay to stream on Podbean. It's time for Musk to flip the script. I can't stream on YouTube and make money for the last 3 years. Again, I've had to use Twitter to get my YouTube back. Let's make that a YouTube competitor, because now if you can tip me on YouTube as I live stream, and then not only do you have a chat interaction, but maybe I can bring people in the way they bring in people on Twitter spaces, so we can have a vocal interaction, or better yet, Sean, they can start streaming their video and I can have a guest out of the pool of people listening. They could become a real threat. And then we're really talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. And all of a sudden, that $44 billion investment is one of the most brilliant ones out there. Listen, I want to see an alternative media revolution, and I want to see free speech, and I want to see a way that I can utilize free speech again and be monetarily compensated instead of shadow banned and delisted and really attacked by the algorithm.
Right. And they already had this technology with Periscope. So I remember these kind of live streams would just autoplay. So you go to something like, if you go to Tucker Carlson's Twitter page and he has an episode that's live, it's the post at the top, it's pinned and it's auto playing. So it would be easy for anyone to figure out how to watch his episodes if they were open to the public that way. So it's just a matter of them rolling out what they already had with Periscope and maybe adding some additional features that you talked about. So Jason, any final thoughts about what this means with Tucker being freed, with the type of things that he might be exposing in the presidential election before we wrap up?
Well, I'll just say this. I've been watching a lot of his interviews across the board, and he's making headway and headlines by talking about Building 7 and 9/11, talking about the Central Intelligence Agency and the JFK murders. He's even called out Bill Barr as a liar, knowing that Epstein did not kill himself, inviting him on the show and then being refused. So he's dipping his toes into some deep, deep waters. I want to see more of this. You know, I've been around this game, Sean, now almost 20 years. I've talked to some people that were actually in some of the Tucker Carlson originals recently. In fact, the last one, Let Them Eat Bugs, that was released before he was fired. And, you know, that individual had dinner with one of his producers. And the things that Tucker is aware of, I think he needs to bring to the forefront. People need to understand this is not a new phenomenon. Psychological warfare operations have been waged on the global populace and the American people for some time. We have a rogue nation state, a rogue executive, a rogue continuity of government or shadow government program in control through multiple bureaucracies and then industries that have been set up by them in control. And we've got to take control back. So the best thing I can tell people is get out there, be active, do not wait for somebody else to tell you what to do. You've got to be your own hero, look in the mirror, and how can you make a difference in your life today, your community's lives, and really your children's lives? Because they're the ones that are going to have to grow up in this crazy mixed up world that we've created.
That's a good point, Jason. We talked about how important election integrity is, and that means each of us has to figure out what can we do about that. And we also talked about how the government really, they're showing the mask is slipping. They want to take our kids away. They want to take away our parental rights, and they want to brainwash our kids. And I know from interviewing someone this week who transitioned to female, then detransitioned back to male, that TikTok was the number one reason they got sucked down a TikTok algorithm rabbit hole where this type of content was put in front of them over and over and over again about transitioning, and it influenced them to do it. So, you know, this is the type of stuff that parents need to battle and need to figure out how to defend their kids and their family. This is psychological warfare and something that Elon Musk is putting out there for people to understand that it exists. So thank you, Jason, for the work that you do. People can find you on Rumble. We'll put a link in the description below. And just say to everyone, thank you for watching ampnews.us. We are America's Patriot only network. You can get my breaking news updates at seanmorganreport.com. And you can get AMP Insider every Thursday. Talk to our show hosts and get your questions answered. God bless all you patriots. Good night. Good luck.
We're at a very critical juncture, and I think it can go one of two ways, and it really depends upon everyone.
There's a whole lot more to these interviews, but you can only see them when you subscribe to AMP Insider.
Don't stand alone. Join an association or a union or an organization that is in the fight for freedom.
Check out all of the backstage interviews from some of the key speakers of the Nashville Clay Clark event.
There's more good than bad in this world. And there's more of us than them, so stand up and be counted. We the people, be the people.
Use the code AMP888 and get your first month for $1. Cancel anytime.
If you're supporting an agenda that says that it's okay for grown men to dress up as a woman and then have access to a woman's bathroom, that is wrong.
Or go to ampnews.us and sign up for AMP Insider.
Stop watching the cable news and get involved at a local level.